Good morning, church. Once again. So I wanted you to see this reading of this particular reading from different languages, because this is exactly what occurred on Pentecost Sunday. So before I preach about that, please join me in prayer. Gracious and abundant God, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that continues to come. We pray, Lord, that you fill us with this Spirit so that we carry it with us wherever we go. And may the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is one of the craziest stories in all of Scripture. You know, it's hard to imagine these flames above people's heads and speaking in different languages and being able to understand other people. I don't need to tell you that if you're traveling in a foreign country and you don't speak that language, how frustrating is it when you're trying to find, I'm trying to find a bathroom. Why is it that we think, you know, speaking louder at a foreign person somehow makes it come through better? I don't understand that. But it's crazy, though. And then we get frustrated when people come to our country and they speak different languages that we don't understand. I'm sure Donna can probably tell you story after story how many people come to pantry looking for food but cannot speak the English language. Well, the reality is, you know, most of us here in the United States, we are very fortunate. But do you know there's a lot of people that say that Spanish is eventually going to be a lot more, people are going to speak Spanish in our country. And so when we talk about different languages and being able to understand it, how many of you had to learn a different language when you were in school or college? You learned a different language. And how many of you still speak that language now? I mean, I took French, but I can only say, je m'appelle Rosalina. That's about it. But Spanish, I can understand, but sometimes I can't speak it. And then I get really tongue-tied trying to, it's harder than, and you know, I don't need to tell you how complicated our English language is, right? So this story is just filled with some crazy ideas, so much so that even as you saw, Peter says, you know, what have you been doing? Have you been drinking wine this morning? You know, are you drunk? And accuses them of having too much wine to drink at 9 in the morning. And, you know, so this story is filled with a lot of interesting things when you really think about it. I wanted to sort of create a space of where you think about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is why I put all this tulle and flames and stuff around. I forgot to tell the choir they were going to walk in with some stuff too, and but that's okay. I think you all have the idea. And so here's the question that I want to ask you. I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, where in the Bible is the Holy Trinity, does the word Trinity appear? Where in the Bible do you see Trinity appear? I'm talking about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We obviously know that each of them separate are listed in Scripture. Obviously, we talk about the Father, we talk about the Son, Jesus, and we talk about the Holy Spirit. But the language, the word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. Why is that? It was created by the Roman Catholic Church at the time. And so when we pray, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the term Trinity, nowhere in the Bible. So that's a little trivia question there for you, so remember that. Okay, here's the second thing I want to ask you. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's listed in Scripture as the word pneuma. Can you say that? Pneuma. It's the Greek word pneuma, which also means wind. And which is what happened in this story, that wind came among them and all of a sudden these flames appear on people's heads. So I'm going to ask you another question and you can talk to me while I'm preaching. It's okay. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit? What is it? Throw some words at me. Ghost? Oh, was that what? Something else over there? God? Very good, Lorelai. Breath of God? Spirit of God? Third person of the Trinity? That's what we know it as, right? What about advocate, comforter, sustainer? Are all those the Holy Spirit too, or does that come from something else? Well, I would argue that it is the work of the Holy Spirit. My definition of the Holy Spirit is the way that God moves through us to be a participant with God in this world. Why is that important? Well, our national tagline for the ELCA says, God's work, our hands. God's work, our hands. So we are called then to be activated by the work of the Holy Spirit to carry the flame. Oh, this one's, I think the battery's, oh, that battery's out. So when we talk about a flame, though, let's use this analogy of a flame. What happens when a flame goes unattended? It dies, right? You gotta, especially when you're camping, right, and you want that fire roaring, you've gotta be in there, you gotta be around there, throwing some more logs on there. Otherwise, it does what? Goes out. And the same thing happens with the Spirit within us. And if we do not engage with God, because this is the space to engage with God, how do we do that? Through sacrament, through remembering our baptismal identity, and with each other, because we are called as the body of Christ to uplift and sustain each other. We say that in the rite for baptism. We make promises to the parents of the children who are baptized in this space to uplift them, to pray for them. And so we are called to do the same for each other. And yet sometimes we get like this. See, maybe this is good it went out. Sometimes we get like this. Batteries are low. You got no more energy left. And you just don't feel like talking to anybody, doing anything about it. And you're like, I'll just wait till next week. And I'll call my friend then, who I know is going through a divorce and really depressed right now. But I just, my flame is just, this is how we are in this world oftentimes. And how do we recharge our batteries, our flames within us? We come to this space and allow God to speak to us through word, through sacrament, through fellowship with other believers. And so Martin Luther put it this way. In the Small Catechism, he says this: the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. What is the one common true faith? Well, we talk about it in our creed. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It's not like, where did denominations come from, first of all? Where'd they come from? We created it, right? It's not like God was up there going, you know what, I need to separate these people. They're just not getting along. And here's a very technical theological term for you, schisms. It's schisms just as a fancy word, which means disagreement and argument, right? Churches, we are human people and we argue over ridiculous things. You know, sometimes we argue whether Christ is present in the meal, transubstantiation, consubstantiation. We argue about the color of the carpet. We argue about how many pews should be in the sanctuary space. What should the lighting be? Where should the organ and choir members sit? We argue about all those things and it causes rifts. It's not like when we go up to heaven, Peter's going to be up there going, all right, all the Lutherans on the right, Presbyterians, you're going to go down the middle here, and the Methodists. It's not like that in heaven. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, little c. Little c means the unity of all believers in Christ. And yet we cause division when we don't uplift one another and sustain each other. And when our batteries give out, we're like, no, I can't deal with Baptists. I can't. You can agree to disagree. You can love them anyway. That's what we are called to do, to love anyway. God calls us to something larger, and it is the flame that is within us, that is ignited in us whenever we come here to recharge those batteries, to feed that fire, so that we continue to carry that flame with us in this world. And without that, you know, today a lot of theologians, a lot of pastors say that today, Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Spirit is the birthday for the church. Why? Because the coming of the Spirit is what activated then the disciples to go out and share the good news. And guess what? We are charged with that same calling to go out and share the good news with one another, to show compassion, to show love, to show mercy and grace, to embrace one another despite our differences and our schisms and say, I'm going to love this person anyway. It doesn't matter political stuff, their sexuality, that doesn't matter. God's grace is big enough to cover it. And so the question is, where is your Holy Spirit within you now? Is that Holy Spirit being fed? Is it ignited within you? Are you excited to share the good news of Christ in this world? If not, come see me. I'll excite you. But we are called. The point of Pentecost Sunday is not the wind and the flame. It never was. The point of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who brings to the church all the gifts of God and all that we need for life and salvation. And so today, my brothers and sisters, I call on you to embrace that Spirit, to be fed. Feed your fires so that you don't end up like my little flame here. I'm going to turn that off, actually, but this is what we sometimes we start with in the morning. You read a little scripture, you might get like this one. My brothers and sisters, ignite the fire within you. Be fed today, and don't let your flame go out. Amen.